Welcome to AM Best Audio.
As business models evolve and societal expectations shift, new liability risks are emerging that challenge traditional insurance frameworks. From cyber exposure and environmental liabilities to litigation trends and social inflation, carriers and risk managers must stay ahead of a rapidly changing landscape. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Eleanor Bragg, who is a research analyst at Verisk Extreme Event Solutions. Eleanor, so glad you could join us today.
Thanks for having me, John. Excited to be here.
I am as well. So, Eleanor, what are some emerging liability risks that the industry is currently facing?
Well, one big one that I think is a lot on a lot of minds in the industry lately, and rightfully so, is litigation over PFAS chemicals. This is a type of chemical that's found in water and soil and, unfortunately, many different regions around the world. In the U.S., litigation over it is fairly developed, and on my team at Verisk, we've estimated that it could get up to potentially $165 billion in ground-up liability losses. We're also seeing it grow in Europe. Litigation around it there is starting to take off more, and at least in our view, in France, Germany, and Belgium, there's a potential to get up to tens of billions of euros and potential ground-up liability losses there too. So it's a big one. It's a developing one that I think a lot of people are watching. Another major category that we look at pretty closely is climate change liability risks. And the fact is that that can encompass multiple types of litigation. And so you kind of want to break out the liability risk by what damages, what legal arguments are you talking about with that? So there's some litigation, especially in the U.S., where cities and states are suing oil and gas majors over the costs of the direct physical impacts of climate change and the cost to mitigate against those impacts. Then there's other ways that climate change acts as an emerging risk. So for one example, wildfire liability is obviously on many people's minds in the industry right now. And that's an existing risk, an existing type of liability CAT event where it's a longstanding trend where a utility or another company will get implicated in potentially causing a wildfire incident, and then that leads to liability losses. You know, that's sort of an established form of liability CAT. But climate change could make that more frequent and severe. So in that way, we view that as an emerging risk too. So I'd say those are two of the major ones currently talked about a lot.
That's enough.
Yeah, it is.
I got to ask, what are some of the key drivers increasing systemic liability risks?
So there's multiple factors that can act as drivers of the risk. And I'd say there's two categories that drivers can fall into. It could be an actual new issue, like a new topic. So it might be a new technology, new AI tools, more powerful AI tools that we've seen being rolled out lately are one example. Maybe new industrial chemicals being invented and being put into circulation. So it could be like a brand new thing that then can lead to some kind of damages and some kind of liability risk. But then you can also have factors that are not topic specific, but more legal drivers. So for example, third-party litigation funding, social inflation, those sorts of buzzwords get bandied around, and those are more circumstantial drivers that just make other liability risks more common.
I want to back up a little bit because you mentioned technologies. So how are technologies creating these new liability risks?
Yeah, I think there's a lot there, but I can just, as a short example, speak to AI since everyone loves to talk about AI lately. I think we often get the question of how do you model AI? What are you seeing with AI and liability? And it's kind of similar to climate change where it says, well, it depends. Like, what impacts are you talking about? What use cases are you talking about? And that affects what the liability pathway is. So one example is, you know, we already see liability events around professional negligence or mismanagement of corporate governance. So things like bad financial practices or bad financial advice, negligence in legal advice, employer discrimination. There's these sort of corporate liability events that already exist. And then we know that AI tools, especially new generative AI tools, are being incorporated more and more into professional paperwork, trying to automate various professional and compliance duties. There's like AI financial advisors, AI legal advisors, and it's kind of early days for all of that. AI employment and hiring tools. And so then if there's flaws or biases there, it could lead to damages linked to that usage. And then you'd see liability risk, you'd see lawsuit responses the way we're used to seeing before. So in that way, it can kind of be an accelerator of a risk that was already out there. But that's just an example of how it depends on use case.
Eleanor, do you find that claimant-friendly litigation environments facilitate the emergence of new systemic liability events?
Well, yeah. So as far as a systemic liability event, the way that we define that on my team is in terms of it being a major liability catastrophe is one that's systemic. So it could hit multiple defendants, often from multiple industries, getting drawn into the litigation. And severe, meaning that it could get up to the high hundreds of millions to hundreds of billions in ground up liability losses. And in order to get to that scale, you need a few pieces. Like most of the time, you would need a large pool of potential plaintiffs, and you'd need enough resources for this issue, enough attention on the issue for plaintiffs to try out different legal strategies and try suing multiple types of defendants, try crafting those arguments and seeing where they can succeed in going after particularly expensive categories of damages. So that's what builds up into these really major events. And there are kind of what you could call claimant-friendly litigation environments, claimant-friendly factors that make the chances of success there higher. So social inflation is an obvious one that gets talked about a lot. It's just talking about the severity of the awards, often given by juries, can keep moving higher. So that pushes up potential loss size. But then other factors can also, increase that plaintiff pool size, increase those new legal theories, wide-ranging legal theories being applied to a new issue. So third-party litigation funding is something that has been practiced that has been picking up in the U.S. as well as in Europe and the U.K. and has sort of funneled more resources towards large-scale litigation, including around things related to ESG, climate change. So that's one that can drive those, make those larger scale cases more common. And then there's regulatory factors too. These large scale consumer collective actions may become more common. Frequent actions of those type have been the purview of the US more until recently. And in Europe, they're becoming more common. There was a recent representative actions directive encouraging EU member states to have more mechanisms available for consumers to seek collective redress. So, with those changes, you could see higher frequency, not necessarily higher severity, but higher frequency of this type of liability catastrophe event.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So how do you go about modeling these systemic risks?
Yeah, so there's a lot of uncertainty, which I think can sometimes make the liability modeling seem more intimidating from the outside. There's kind of a human element where there's more negotiation involved, there's more subjectivity involved, and it can be a long time scale. So there's challenges, but I would say I can speak to how my team approaches it at Verisk. Our view is that liability cat events, even though they are kind of human and subjective, they do fall into categories that have patterns to them. And we group them into perils and named perils, sort of analogous to natural catastrophes, where we have corporate events, product-related events, and operational-related events. And we have a catalog of how historical liability cats have played out in the past. And then we build on that by applying stochastic modeling to simulate, going forward, looking by named peril, what's the frequency of those events reoccurring? How severe could each event of that type be? And then through that modeling, you can get a broader range of what's plausible, what could keep happening in the future. And that informs, what could your expected losses be? What's your value at risk? So it is possible to take advantage of that data and those patterns. And then in terms of emerging risks where litigation is really early stage, you can also do outside research and separate modeling to understand how it might compare to the existing landscape of liability cats. So you can look into what are the legal theories, what are the types of damages that could reasonably be recovered, what are the precedents for how settlements have treated those types of damages before. So there's ways to get at it and at least come to a range of potentially exposed industries, a range of potentially of potential total ultimate losses. You know, it's not a total Wild West.
Okay, Eleanor, let's take a little peek into the future, shall we? Mm-hmm. What are some of the emerging liability trends that insurers should prepare for over the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I'd say keeping an eye on how different jurisdictions are changing. So the U.S. is notoriously litigious, but, you know, things are changing as well in the U.K. and Europe, as I mentioned. Even within the U.S., we've seen some litigation, you know, growing. And for example, there's some California style wildfire litigation growing in places like Oregon, Texas, Washington, you know, some of those trends growing beyond where we're used to seeing them. And then I'd also just say it's worth keeping in mind that you can take insights from what the patterns in large loss liability events have been to date and use that to frame how a new topic might play out. So, you know, you might have something that feels like a totally new trend, but keep in mind that it may have a familiar pathway to large losses. And that's one way to kind of see how it might evolve. So for one example, I already talked about AI, but there's a piece on AI, which we've seen so far. A few new lawsuits have been claiming AI washing. Like if you've heard, I don't know if you've heard of greenwashing.
Sure.
But there's also AI washing where they can say, oh, this company claimed they had cutting edge AI technology and they're going to have these great returns or performance based on that. And then it wasn't true and their stock dropped and now we're going to, shareholders are going to sue. So that's an AI risk from something new on the horizon, but actually shareholder lawsuits like that are like almost a dime a dozen. It's a well-known thing. So I guess I just say that to point out that when you see these new trends, these new topics coming over the horizon, there are past trends or existing trends that you can follow to say, okay, maybe this will start to fit into this liability pathway or, you know, this playbook will show up on this new issue in this way. So that's sort of the mindset that I would have going forward.
Well, Eleanor, it will be interesting to see. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, thank you. I had a great time.
That was Eleanor Bragg, who's a research analyst at Verisk Extreme Event Solutions. And I'm John Weber for IAM Best Audio. Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.